Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here with another club update, this time talking all things West Bromwich Albion with my good friend Dan, who you can find on Twitter, of course, at Baggies Facts. Is it still a website or just the Twitter these days?
Just the Twitter at the moment, Kev, but you know, we'll see what the future holds.
For sure. If you're up for more than a year or two, I think you might have to get that going again. But a pleasure speaking with you after your time in the Championship. Obviously, most listeners will remember the last time you were up in the Premier League, as it was not too long ago. But what did you make of your Championship adventures on the whole?
Very exciting. Lots of goals. Some fantastic football at times, even the season before the one that's just gone. We played some great stuff under Big Dave, and then towards the end of that season under Jimmy Shan. It was a big period of transition. So there was, it felt like once we got relegated from the Premier League, the club was in a lot of, it was in disarray to a point. And we've managed to turn that around completely, and we've now got a manager who, you know, every fan who I speak to is behind Slaven Bilic and appreciates everything he's done for the club. And we've made some really astute signings to get us promoted last season. So it has been, it's been really enjoyable. There's no harm in a break from a Premier League for a couple of seasons, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm sure it was nice to go down, play exciting football and get a lot of wins. That's always what we hear from teams that are heading down, is at least there's that to hang the hat on.
You obviously... Mostly, unless you're a Stoke fan or a Huddersfield fan.
Or Sunderland, who double dropped. That's obviously a fair point. You looked really, really good at stretches of each of the last two seasons. Obviously, 2 years ago, not enough to get you promoted. This year it was, although it was a pretty nervy finish, considering I in particular wanted you to be back on this show this season. What led to the struggles down the stretch that all but left the door open for Brentford until the final minutes of the last match?
Well, I think what we have to consider is the fact that up until December, Albion had lost one game until late December. I think it was Middlesbrough, the second game that we managed to lose. And so I sort of, as much as I, you know, it was great, to be fair, as a neutral, you would be looking at Brentford and saying, fantastic. But they have had a lot of money pumped into the club, Brentford. And it's not quite the massive big dream story that it's made out to be, very similar to Bournemouth, to be honest. And so as a Baggies fan, obviously I wanted Albion to get promoted, and they were really chasing us hard, and we weren't picking up results, and Brentford looked like they'd never lose a game again. But of course, it was a high pressure situation, and we'd had our fantastic run earlier on in the season. It was just about getting over that line, and it was a battle, and, you know, but ultimately the results at the end of the season are what they are, and the league table doesn't lie. We finished second in the table with more points than Brentford did, and that's all that mattered. It was nerve-wracking, though, Kev. It really was. Towards the end, like we was relying on other teams to get a result, and Stoke managed to get a result against Brentford, and that was absolutely massive. So less of the Mickey taking of Stoke, I suppose, for a little while.
Yeah, that last match was really pretty intense. I had that and the Brentford match on at the same time. And then as soon as Brentford conceded the second, all of a sudden in the West Brom match, you could just see Bilic yelling. And all of a sudden just everybody pulled back into your half. It's like, all right, there's like 8 minutes left. Let's see how this goes.
We'd sent Cole Bartley up front for about 2 minutes before sending him right back to defence again. So that was quite funny. But, you know, I think as much as as much as QPR put up a good effort and managed to get a point out of us, I was still confident going into that last game, and we had enough, and I did have a feeling that Brentford would struggle. So it turned out Barnsley needed the result and managed to claw himself out of the relegation zone himself as well. So I'm sure Brentford have a great season next season, though, as long as they don't lose too many of their players.
Yeah, and then obviously it's another year that the team that finishes third isn't the one that goes up through the playoff. It just must be a pretty demoralizing place to be. You mentioned Bilic there and how the fans are starting to gravitate towards him as a manager. Certainly the scenes after the promotion showed how much of a connection he had with the players. What have you made of his time, taking charge of West Bromwich Albion and maybe the tactics that helped you come up?
Cliche thing to say, but you have to state it as it was. And I think it was a breath of fresh air. It was someone with a very good reputation within the game, someone with a lot of knowledge about the game, someone that used that knowledge to sign players for us that helped get us promoted last season. And it's someone that, you know, when certain managers sometimes they've got a bit of a gravitas about them, something that's just a bit different to other managers, and they stand out a little bit more, and they're a little bit more likeable because of it. And he's very honest. He tells it as it is. There were many times throughout that season where he wasn't at all complimentary about how we played or how we performed and said we needed to do better. And he was always striving for that extra bit out of all the players. So it's easy to say that it was literally just a breath of fresh air and passionate. And he obviously cared about the club from the start. But it was all of those things. I just feel that he was the perfect man at the perfect time to come to a club. And it's really strange as well. You've got a foreign manager who's managed in the Premier League, and he came and the first thing he talked about was, I'm excited to manage in the Championship because it's such a brutal, tough league to get out of, and it's a challenge as a manager. And to have someone that's, because he didn't need to drop to the Championship, he could have probably got himself a job in one of Europe's top leagues. And he's come to the second league in England, and he's done it for the challenge, and he's done it because he felt he could build something, and he's certainly doing that. We just hope that things stay settled with the boardroom issues that we might have on the horizon, and that we'll keep him as manager, and that he's not going to get too upset with transfer budget issues, etc., etc.
Yeah, we'll get to potential moves here a bit later. I wanted to talk about the play style a little bit, though. Obviously, when you went down last time, West Brom had this perception as just defending, and could they defend well enough to not go down? In the Championship, though, you've been fairly free scoring this past season, finishing with the second most goals in the Championship.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a Bilic thing that'll translate up to the Premier League, or do you think that was just because you were up against opposition that you felt you had a better chance of scoring against, but in the Premier League might retreat into the shell a bit more?
Obviously it's going to be more difficult with the side that we've got, but the side that we do have is not really set up to be purely defensive. And Bilic has turned that around as well as Big Dave the season before last. We have played pragmatic football when we need to in the Championship, but we're also at times we're brutal, and we can be so exciting, and we can finish teams off for fun. You know, there's been times we've scored really high number of goals. We've scored 4 or 5. We've scored 7 against QPR a couple of seasons back. You know, we've got a team that's built around scoring goals in the Championship, and it's just a case of whether they can do that in the Premier League. And of course, you know fully well that's not easy. So it might well be the case that we do switch to, obviously, against the bigger teams, a more pragmatic and defensive style, and look to hit teams on the break. But I don't think Slaven Bilic will shy away from the fact that we're going to play attacking, exciting players against every team, and we're going to try and have a go. So I don't think, especially from the neutrals listening to this, I don't even think you're going to be seeing a West Brom team that's anything at all what we saw under Tony Pulis and then under Pardew. Following that, it's going to be a team that's exciting to watch. I mean, I don't know whether many listeners will have seen much of Matheus Pereira this season. But that boy can play football. Yeah. And he's worth, I mean, we've paid £8 or £9 million for him after his loan agreement came to an end. And he's probably already worth 25, 30 million. And as someone, I feel that he will probably go to the very top, and I just hope that it's not as soon as maybe even, you know, January or the season after, the coming season. I just hope we get to see him, you know, playing a baggy shirt for a couple of years at least. He's so fantastic.
Yeah, he's definitely a player to keep an eye on. Obviously, a team that finishes going up in the automatic spaces has some talent in it. What other players would you recommend people keeping an eye on this season?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You probably, Semi Ajayi is probably one, our center half. He barely missed a game last season. He can be very old-fashioned in the fact that he does like a header and he does like to get the ball clear, but he's also someone that you could probably trust in a defensive midfield sort of position as well. He was used in that sort of role himself last season. He's definitely got the attributes to be a useful player in the Premier League. He's very tall. He's very athletic. He's got good vision for a centre-back. And he's, of course, of an age to be able to develop still. Other players that might stand out, I mean, Hal Robson-Kanu had a fantastic season in terms of goals. His best ever goal-scoring season. Maybe he's at an age where he's matured enough to maybe bang a few in the Premier League. And then you can't forget the impact of Dean Garner, as I've mentioned, Pereira. Dean Garner now being a West Ham player, but someone we'll be potentially looking to try and sign on a permanent. Mm. And O'Shea at right back as well, Dyer O'Shea. That's probably a name that not many will have heard of, unless you follow the Championship. He's a fantastic young Irish centre half and right back, and he slotted in at the right back slot for us towards the end of the season fantastically, scoring a couple of really important goals. And just playing just a really solid defensive game as well as helping when getting forward. For his age, he just didn't panic at all in any of the situations that he faced. So he's another player to maybe look out for.
Gotcha. You also still have a lot of former Premier League players in the side. Obviously, still have Livermore, still have Hegazi, who people might remember from your last time up as well. Mm-hmm. Are there players that you're a little bit more worried about, though, going back up to the Premier League that may have been getting regular minutes but might not have the ability level that will be demanded at a higher level?
I think there's definitely question marks over Charlie Austin, whether he can get himself fit enough for a long season of tough, high intensity Premier League football. Because he's a player that can score goals, but at times last season he did look tired towards the end of some games he started. And that's not saying he doesn't try either. I'm not saying at all he's lazy, but I just don't know if he's got the legs in him. I think his legs might be going maybe a little bit earlier than, well, not earlier than they should, but maybe he is probably ready for a move to another Championship club, maybe. But then again, he might prove me wrong and he might score some goals next season. It doesn't look like we'll be getting rid of that kind of player immediately, because the transfer market being so tight means that we've got to keep what we've got until we sign new players. And I think everybody's in the same sort of position, which is going to make for a really tense and last-minute transfer window, I think. But I don't think there's any players but won't be able to give it a go and at least tread water in the Premier League. You've got players like our left-back Connor Townsend, who came from lower league football, and who slotted in quite a few times last season, but he's kind of the player that you'd probably look at that might well get loaned back to the Championship.
Could I interest you in a Danny Rose, perhaps?
Well, yeah, potentially. I mean, he was at Newcastle only last season, so potentially. I don't know. I think that we've probably got other positions which are more priority at the minute. I think we need to get strikers in. And we probably need a new goalkeeper as well before we start thinking about a left back.
Gotcha. So striker and goalkeeper are on the list. Any other positions that you think you're going to need to bolster ahead of the Premier League campaign?
Well, left back, but I don't think it's as important. And quite possibly another centre back, just to make sure we've got four solid centre backs ready for the new campaign. I'm not sure you can manage on three first team centre backs with youngsters as backup in the Premiership. And as much as many Baggies fans aren't going to like me saying this, I just don't think Johnston's up to the Premier League. He was a struggle to be up to the Championship, in my opinion. Maybe I'm overly critical, but he just doesn't defend his area well enough. He doesn't communicate well enough with his defenders. The amount of times he's saved us, plenty of times, but the amount of goals he's conceded on his near post and stuff where he shouldn't, sometimes I just think he switches off. I'm not his biggest fan. He has played well at times and he pulled off some great saves throughout the season, so I'm not saying that he's not had a decent enough season in order to help get the Baggies promoted. But I just feel the Premier League's a different animal. And I think, you know, in terms of a solid goalkeeper, we probably need someone with a bit more experience, maybe.
Maybe a reunion with Ben Foster.
Never say never, I suppose. But, well, yeah, never say never. That might be some sort of left-wing transfer that comes up towards the end of the deadline. Ben Foster makes no secret of his love for the club, so you never know.
Yeah, he's 37. He's getting up there, but... Yeah.
Well, Brad Friedel played until he was about 54, didn't he? So.
That's true. He did indeed. But we'll definitely keep an eye out for signings in those positions. Are there any names in particular that you're hearing a lot of, or more just general positions that'll be addressed?
Today, Sipra at Wigan is a centre-back mentioned. Duffy at Brighton is someone we've probably seen linked for a couple of weeks. Deanne Garner back on a permanent, as well as Krivinovic back on a permanent, potential deals that could be done. I'm hoping for Deanne Garner more than Krivinovic, as much as both signings would be fantastic. And then strikers, there's been a few mentioned, but it's just, it could be anyone. It depends whether Slaven Bilic is going to get his men. There's a few Croatian players being looked at. Yeah, and it does really depend on whether the board are willing to spend the money, whether the board can spend the money. It's looking like there could be a little bit of tension between the board and Bilic coming forward, and many Baggies fans are quite anxious about that at the moment.
Does that have anything to do with the bit of organizational restructure? I don't know enough to speak on it, but didn't somebody high up in the organization switch?
So Mark Jenkins, he was our chief exec. He stepped down and retired. He came back a couple of years ago to help shore the club through tough financial times in terms of getting relegated and in terms of transitioning the club back into the Premier League. And now we've been promoted. He's felt that his job's done and he's passed over his role to Ken Zhu, which is our owner's representative in the UK, a Chinese gentleman. But many people are concerned that he's a very young guy. He's in his early 30s. Whether he's just going to be a yes man to the chairman, and whether that means the communication levels between Britain and China are going to be difficult, and whether that's going to get in the way of deals being done, who knows? But our chairman hasn't been to the club and witnessed a single championship game. Oof. Which many fans are completely and, you know, understandably very frustrated with. You want an active chairman, you want someone that's interested in the club and willing to do all they can to try and make it, to make the club as big and as doing well on the pitch as you can. But our chairman seems to have gone missing. He's not really released any statements recently, maybe one about Jenkins. He said a few words, but I just feel that it could be difficult because, I mean, if you look at our transfer budget as well, a lot of it's getting taken away by clauses on players for players that we've signed already in the last couple of years where we'll need to pay because we've been promoted. So promotion clauses are going to take a little bit out of our transfer budget. And so we're probably looking at like a 20 or 30 million transfer budget. And if you compare that to what the likes of like Aston Villa spent last season, which was like upwards of 100 million, you know, it's a pittance. And it does really show that even with this big influx of like, you know, apparently you earn hundreds of millions of pounds by being promoted from the Championship, it's still, you know, for a club of our size, we're still having to be very careful.
Gotcha. Well, if it doesn't sound like there's going to be much money spent, but you can make some sneaky deals, I'm sure. What are the expectations for the season? Obviously, had a really talented squad last season in the Championship. Sounds like some of them are going to be good enough to get a ride out in the Premier League. So is there some optimism building despite the chairman stuff?
Yeah. Jake Livermore over the last couple of seasons has really grew into the captain's role. He's been fantastic. Last season, he was unbelievable at times. Real commanding presence on the field. And I think he'll be someone that will step up easily back into the Premier League and be the kind of player that we need to shore us up in some games where it's going to be difficult. We're going to have our backs to the wall. Romain Sawyers, who partners him in centre midfield, is such a technical player that I'm thinking the Premier League will suit him more than the Championship because you might well get that little bit of extra time on the ball. Whereas in the Championship, you do face some teams which are kick it long, get straight on the opposition players, don't allow them time to breathe. Whereas the open, expansive game can be sought out a little bit more. And so for players like Romain Sawyers, who likes a bit of time on the ball to pick a pass, and he can pick a lovely pass sometimes, it might well be a benefit to him. But I think in terms of expectations for the season, I reckon surviving is just the realistic goal. Nothing else. We're not aiming for anything other than 17th or above. And then we can try and build from that and maybe do something, you know, a bit more progressive once we've managed to get our foothold in the Premier League again, because, you know, the end of last season showed just how tight it was. And I've got no doubt it's going to be really tight again in the coming season.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Obviously, we've done the Leeds and Fulham updates by now, and both of them said that for them, the target is just 17th or better, which seems juxtaposed to some previous seasons when, like, Wolves came up or when Fulham came up the last time, where it seemed like they were aiming for top 10 that first year up. Do you think that's just, like, a level of pragmatism that people have seen that strategy fail enough that now it's just about just staying in the league for that year and then building on?
I think secretly, I think behind closed doors, I think every manager will be hoping to push towards the top 10 or maybe even better because, you know, as Sheffield United have proved last season, you don't always have to have the best players and always, you know, be playing the best football in order to be putting you. I mean, Sheffield United played fantastically, but I mean, in terms of like them being a fashionable club, them being a club that can, you know, who've been up there and produced, you know, season in, season out, top 10 finishes, they're not up there. They're not that big of a club. And so for someone like them to be showing that, I mean, Chris Wilder's done a fantastic job with them. And so surely, you know, Albion, similar sort of size club, similar footing, you have to aspire to do that. But for me to be here as a fan saying that I think that that's a possibility and that's a potential, we'll have to wait and see how the start of the season goes and then moving forward. But we can all hope that we're going to have a great season and you never know, our fantastic barcode kits, which we've which have just been released, might inspire us to some magic this season.
Don't know about the yellow and red one though.
Do you not? I think the yellow and red kit's beautiful, mate, honestly. it's a piece of artwork.
well, we'll see how they look on the pitch.
Yeah, for anyone that's listening that's not seen West Brom's new kits for the season, just check them all out because they're jaw-droppingly fantastic.
I agree. Two-thirds. But we will leave it there. If you want to tell folks where they can find you or anything you're working on, now would be a great time.
You can find me at Baggies Facts, which is just on Twitter. As Kev said, I haven't got a website online at the moment. Used to have one, and it was pretty successful back in the day. Time constraints have meant that that's been a difficult proposition in recent years. So hopefully that might change in the coming months, and we can build on that. But in the meantime, you can follow me on at Baggies Facts, and that doesn't matter whether you're an opposition fan or a Baggies fan. If you get following me, I'm happy to interact with everyone. So cheers and thanks for having me on, Kev.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, non-Baggies fans also worth a follow. Definitely a lot of awesome football takes DM from Dan. But yeah, obviously a massive pleasure speaking with you today. Awesome that we're going to chat throughout the whole season here, and best of luck.
Cheers, Kev. Thank you. Talk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.